Bills fans, welcome into the Bills Wire Daily Podcast, a special weekend post-game edition. I'm joined by fellow Bills Wire staff writer, Brad Gelber. Hey, Brad, what's up?
Hey, Jeremy, thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is, I'm not really sure, planning this podcast episode was like either really difficult to do or very easy to do. I didn't really know how to pick this one. One of the worst defeats, I think, Bills fans have endured, and just watching from just a fan perspective that we've seen in really quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime I think a team comes into the season, you have, you know, whether it's Super Bowl aspirations, playoff aspirations, winning the division, you know, I think a lot of times, even if you're predicted to not be a great team, their hope is still there, especially among fans. That's why they're fans. They're not, you know, paid to analyze the team, and they just want to hope for the best for their team. So I think for the Bills to come, you know, into the season and just get blown out in this fashion, it's particularly disheartening. I mean, it's not even like they were in this game at all. It was just right from the get-go they were down, and it just kept going and going and going. So, you know, it's one thing if this happens a little later on in the season with a bad team, but there's really like there's next to no excuse for this performance right out of the gate like this.
But like if you look at the stats, Brad, it's just so horrible. Nathan Peterman, as I'm sure many fans saw, was pulled in the, you know, outside of the second half. Josh Allen, you know, was inserted into the lineup. But you look down the board, LeSean McCoy, you know, didn't even eclipse you know, a long rut. His longest rush was 12 yards, and that was on a broken play where he went to his left, stopped on it, you know, stopped on a dime, as he would like with his Twitter name, but did his thing, and that was just all him. But he couldn't get going. Marcus Murphy couldn't get going. The whole offense, that not creative at all. Baltimore on the opposite side looked tremendous. Joe Flacco hitting his tight ends, a beautiful ball into Michael Crabtree for a toe-touching touchdown. So you had great plays and great offense on one side and just poor lackluster, whatever you want to call it, on the Bills side. It was really hard to get through it, especially the first half with Nathan Peterman. Obviously the second half, I think both teams kind of knew where this game was headed and tried to get the clock to run as much as possible. But let's just start with the first half, I guess, and just Nathan Peterman and that offensive performance. It was, well, for me, Brad, to be expected. I didn't expect a whole lot from Nathan Peterman in this game, especially with the weather conditions. But still, you know, just 5 of 18 for 24 yards, sacked three times, picked off twice. It was probably his, you know, end to probably getting a sniff at being considered a starter again for the Buffalo Bills. And what I think probably is true. But what did you kind of take away, if anything, from that first half?
I mean, it's so tough because, like we said, they just got out of control so quickly. It's like, what do you take away from that? And I think, you know, one of the things I took away was the fact that, you know, Brian Daboll's been touted as this, like, genius offensive mastermind. I mean, was it Shady that called him a genius earlier in the week, or someone on the Bills did? And, you know, we've heard all these things, but if you go back and look at his past, he has never really had success as an offensive coordinator in the league. And I'm not putting this squarely on him, but, you know, we were expecting such a departure from Rick Dennison and this innovative offense that finally is, you know, a passing attack, and it utilizes the playmakers, and there's some trickery, things like different things that we didn't see with Rick Dennison. And to be honest, I didn't see anything from him early on when they were still in this game that would qualify that as any different from Rick Dennison. And, you know, again, you can't put it all on him. And I think, you know, it all goes into it, whether it's the receivers not getting open, the offensive line not giving the quarterback time, the quarterback, you know, not reading the plays correctly or feeling pressure. I mean, I just don't think, obviously, Nathan Peterman had an awful day. But I just don't know really how you pinpoint particularly where the blame's to go, because I just think everyone had an awful day all the way around on the offensive side of the ball today.
I think the whole team, yeah. You know, Nathan Peterman had a poor game, but so did everybody. You're right. Like, you know, the receivers couldn't get open. They showed it on the telecast a couple of times. Guys unable to separate. You had a great observation there in Dable's offense. I noticed that they tried to go with almost a no huddle to start the game.
Yep.
It seemed like it was maybe almost too fast. You know, they had guys jumping for false starts. So another thing that was concerning for me in observation was typically this team is well prepared and disciplined, and that wasn't even true today either. Really shooting themselves in the foot with penalties, just mistakes, mental mistakes, and also physical ones. They were outmatched up front. I don't want to put the blame all on Peterman either, and it shouldn't be because everybody played well below expectations, I'm sure, for them. But just this game wasn't even competitive, and it was evident really early. And you thought, well, you know, Tremaine Edmonds comes in there, gets his helmet on the ball, causes a fumble. Okay, there's a bright spot, but it just seemed like the Bills could never get anything going at all. You have Borquez coming in there, you know, rookie punter fumbling, and it was just almost embarrassing to a point. Like, you just, you know, we want to watch the game because we're fans, but we're also, you know, covering the team. So, you know, we need to watch everything that's going on. And but today was one of those days, Brad, you just wanted to like go outside or do something else because you knew it wasn't going to get better anytime soon.
Yeah, and I think, you know, these games tend to have a trickle-down effect, and it's like a domino when, you know, it seems like when one thing goes wrong, everything just starts going wrong. And I think that's where good teams find a way to put a stop to that. And I think at times last year, the Bills, en route to their playoff run, they were actually able to do that. When things started to go poorly, they were able to kind of cut that off and still find a way to stay in the game or win the game. And today was a perfect example of that just not happening. I mean, like you said, Tremaine Edmonds had a nice play there. I think, you know, if you want to look for a bright spot, I think overall maybe he had a better game than, you know, everyone was worried about him in the preseason. I thought he played okay given the circumstances. But, you know, Bajorquez came in early on and he looked okay early on too. Like he had some nice punts, and then he dropped the one in the rain, and things kind of just started spiraling. So I think that overall, it's hard to not allow that to happen to a team when it's just going so poorly. We're not just talking about one or two things. It's like literally every aspect of the game, nothing. There's no bright spots. So it's just tough. And I mean, they put Hauschka out there in the rain to try and kick a 52-yard field goal, and it doesn't even come close. And you have a rookie holding the ball that's never even held up for a field goal for him. So, you know, overall, I just think that this is a game that maybe it's one of those ones where you just burn the tape and you pretend like it didn't happen, and you just try and reset and move forward, because I'm not sure what they can really even learn from this performance. It was just so bad.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Like, this is one of those games you just tack it on to as like your fifth preseason game and just try to start your season all over next week. Did you notice too, Brad, like, you know, the teams come out of the locker room, start the second half. There is nobody at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore. It looked like the fourth quarter of a fourth preseason game. I mean, with the weather the way it was, with the scores lopsided as it was.
Yeah, and I mean, and their team is winning, so they can go home and, you know, enjoy the victory. And you know, it's funny that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both playing in the game, and I don't think any of us pictured it would be under this circumstance. If you were to say that, you know, at the start of the preseason, you'd maybe think that those two, well, probably not Joe Flacco wouldn't be starting, but you'd think maybe the Bills were, you know, blowing the Ravens out and Lamar Jackson's in garbage time or something like that. But you know, it's a unique situation that we see both rookies kind of come in for two very different reasons. And obviously, you know, this is, you know, Sean McDermott's been given a lot of praise for the Bills going to the playoffs last year. I know he was criticized a bit for in-game management, rightfully so. But, you know, myself included, I've given him a lot of praise for, you know, maybe taking a team that didn't have necessarily the talent, but had them kind of overproduce and perform last season to make the playoffs. And, you know, putting an effort out like this, while it's not squarely on the coaches either, you know, he's gonna have to have some answers for this, and they're gonna have to play a lot better next week, because I'm sure he's gonna give the standard, you know, post game answer. I'm gonna have to go review the tape and see what it says, and he's not gonna give us anything. But you know, he kind of owes it to the fans at least to explain what the heck happened here, because like you said, this is just embarrassing.
It was an effort thing, you know, more than X's and O's. Like, it's okay if you get beat and other teams make a couple more plays than you, but there was just they lacked life. Like, there was just no, this is the opening game of the year. It just seemed like from afar, just watching the game, that they were never really engaged, and that they, when they got behind, they just kind of were defeated by that and crawled into a shell, and Baltimore laid it on. And John Harbaugh goes for two there, and I'm just laughing a little bit, like just rubbing it in. Obviously they didn't make it, but yeah, it was one of those games that we'll never forget because it was week one. You often remember the openers to every season, but you hope by the end of the year, it doesn't come back to, really hurt them. As the game is now final, Brad, I think 47-3 is the final score. Bills getting on the board with a field goal in the second half. Josh Allen looked okay. He under those circumstances, it's also kind of hard to evaluate him completely too. But it was good that he got some reps in the second half. And he ends the day with 74 yards, 6 for 15. So at least he got some time. Was also sacked three times, like Nathan Peterman. It was a rough one for the Bills overall. Where do they go from here? Where do you think they should look? Because I also think, Brad, too, like they're just the personnel wise, they are deficient in a lot of areas. Receiver, the offensive line looked at times again really concerning with pass protection and Shady not getting going on the ground. It was a tough offensive day in every position. The tight ends didn't step up. It was a bad situation. I didn't see Charles Clay out there a lot. He may have got hurt. Not sure about that, but I'm sure we'll hear during the week if that was the case. I did see him get up at one point and kind of limp to the sideline, and he didn't play much afterwards, but they could have just been resting him. Precautionary. What about the personnel, though? I think McDermott has to do something for sure to just ignite a better effort, but I think Brandon Bean's going to have to come up with something crafty to maybe fill in some holes or to at least help support whoever's behind center.
Yeah, and I mean, not just even on the offensive side of the ball. You look at the injuries to the secondary. Taron Johnson and Philip Gaines left, and Vontae Davis, which now seems like a year ago this pregame, but he didn't even start the game. So that was a big storyline before this thing even started. Was he was brought in to replace EJ Gaines, and he gets benched, a healthy scratch. So they're probably going to have to activate him depending on how those injuries go. But like you said, on the offensive side of the ball, I don't know what they do. I don't know how, as I said, and I'm glad I'm not in their shoes in this coaching staff of the the people evaluating the personnel. I don't know how you take things away from a game like this, because at some point it just becomes, how do you even try? I know it's your profession, you're a paid good money to play and all that, but how do you really put your best effort when you're down 40-3, 47-3? So I don't know if they look at, a third quarterback at this point. I don't know if they try and bring in a guy like Matt Moore or someone that's a veteran. You and I discussed this in the preseason about, when they were looking at a guy like Paxton Lynch. Well, maybe why wouldn't they consider maybe a veteran quarterback after they traded AJ McCarron? So I don't know if they look at a guy like that to maybe, come in if they feel like Peterman is just not going to be able to perform and they're not ready to throw Allen into, the wolves there. I'm not sure, because then you have to have this guy learn the offense, and I don't know how plausible that is at this point. But yeah, maybe, I don't know if they look maybe at some wide receivers. I know there's not a lot left at this point. And I know a guy like Dez Bryant is certainly not going to want to come to the Bills after watching this game. So I think really what we're going to see and hear is probably not what fans want to hear me say, but I think you're going to get from McDermott, this was one of those learning experiences, and we're gonna, take from it. I'm sure he'll drop the, there was some good things I saw that, I liked in an overall really poor performance, but I'm sure he'll try and highlight some of the positives and say, we just need to recollect ourselves and come back out next week. And I know that's not what anyone wants to hear, but I don't think there's any magic bullet at this point that's gonna improve the team personnel-wise or, effort-wise. They kind of have to do what we said and just reset and, hope that next week they get a much better performance.
Yeah, and not that the Bills, we're focused on the Bills so much in our analysis here, but Let's give Baltimore some credit. I mean, I think they looked really good too. I think the Bills, being the opponent that Baltimore was given, definitely took advantage of, young quarterbacks and just a young roster. But they looked really sharp. I liked what they did it with the tight end position. I wish the Bills utilized their tight ends like Baltimore did. Guys that's filtering in out of the lineup, they seem to have their defense back, looking really sharp, and so all of that's just so cool to see from them, because they're a fun team to watch when they play Pittsburgh, and they're kind of duking it out now with Cleveland. I think the AFC North could be a really fun division to watch, but yeah, I just want to give credit to Baltimore too. Not to sound too much like coach speak, because I think that's what McDermott might say, but they also look pretty good, I thought.
And like, look at their receivers. I mean, whether it's Willie Snead or John Brown or Michael Crabtree, like the fact they actually played entertaining football and could throw the ball. I mean, this is what we sat here for last season and the past several seasons and just said, we put a lot of it on Tyrod, and I'm not trying to, absolve him of the blame because I've been critical of him as well. But, we sat here and said they need to move on from Tyrod Taylor because in order to be competitive in today's NFL, you need a passing attack. And they come out here, and Nathan Peterman is not good. They have no passing attack again. And I just feel like we're having deja vu. Like, it's like, I understand that we need Josh Allen. He needs time, or he needs to develop. And we knew when they drafted him, he wasn't a Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, pro-ready prospect right now. But it just got to be so frustrating for fans, especially because, we've just been waiting and waiting and waiting for them to be competitive. And we always hear they haven't had a quarterback since Jim Kelly. But, they just have to keep waiting because I don't know if Josh Allen is going to be quote unquote ready or quote unquote, up to his potential at any point this season in his rookie year with the talent he has around him in this team. So they're going to have to keep waiting. And you feel bad at a point. It's just frustrating because we've just said this for so long and it doesn't feel like it's changing. It just feels like the Twilight Zone at some point.
Yeah. I'm looking at, again, just more stats. Zay Jones with 3 receptions for 26 yards. It looks like these are stats from just the end of like quarter one, and it's
Right.
the entire game, and just the defense was just on the field for so long. No rhythm, no first downs, but as you know, Bradley, like these games, it's just one. It's not all 14 or 15, 16 games. So the Bills have a chance to bounce back. And I think you're right in probably saying that McDermott's going to try to highlight, some of the positives and try to keep his team focused. I'm sure he'll also mention the fans and how we're going to need the fans this week, and try to just right the ship. But it's
You
any
know,
fan watching this one is tough.
the one thing I'll say is, we all, I think, criticized having a coach like Rex Ryan who would say whatever was on his mind and make it kind of like a circus. And I'm not saying I miss Rex Ryan, and I'm very much happy that they have a guy like Sean McDermott here now. But it was sometimes refreshing after games like this to have, Ryan just sit up there after the game and say, we sucked. Like, we just sucked. And like, there's nothing, I'm not going to hide it. We sucked. And like, just
Sure.
own up to it. And I think sometimes it's even more frustrating when you get coach speak and you get this, it's a learning experience. We're going to move on to next week. And I know what else do you expect him to say? I know that's, by the book answer, but I think sometimes you just kind of appreciate the brutal honesty of a guy like Rex Ryan in this circumstance. But I agree with you. I think, we're just going to get what we always get from Sean McDermott, and that's how he chooses, the Bill Belichick school of press conferences, and that's how it's going to go. And Brian Daboll's probably going to say the same things, and we're just going to have to hope, like you said, it's just one game, and maybe they can kind of turn things around next week. I think we're all now going to immediately, the big storyline this week is going to be, is Josh Allen going to take over at this point?
Of course.
I think a lot of people are probably thinking that's going to happen, and I'm not so sure. I think Sean McDermott is the type that he feels very, I don't want to say indebted to Nathan Peterman, but he's very loyal to him, it seems. And he really, no matter how he performs in these regular season games, it seems like they always find a reason in their own mind to go back to him. So I'm not saying he's going to start all 16 games, but I don't necessarily see them, you know, bringing Josh Allen out next week to start, because what has changed from this now until next week, other than the fact that Nathan Peterman had a bad game? But it's not like he's all of a sudden, why would this make Josh Allen ready if the coaches felt he wasn't ready before? I just don't know what's really changed. So I don't necessarily see them making that change at this point. I could be completely wrong, but to me, it just comes across like, you know, they'll kind of hit that reset button and say, you know, this is Nathan's ship right now, and we let Josh, you know, get some experience at a game that was out of hand, but we're going to go back to Nathan Peterman for week two.
It's possible, but just that PR move alone to start Allen would, not that McDermott, and he doesn't have a history of doing this in the past, of starting a quarterback just to make fans happy. That's probably the antithesis of his philosophy in terms of making those types of decisions. However, I don't know how you can put him in when your team just lost 47-3 in week one. I get it. I could see them starting Peterman, you know, just logically, just with how he and everything that you laid out, Brad. I can totally see that happening, but I do think that this easily gives him the excuse, you know, to give Allen, you know, the start in week two in front of the home fans, get his career underway. I'm sure you know. I thought he should have just started right off the bat, in week one anyway, but. You know, those are the two different debatable philosophies that are going on right now, and it'll be interesting to see if he decides to make that change or not. So we'll see. But that's, I mean, I would start him week two. I think, you know, at home he might be just a little more comfortable. I think they're gonna have to have a little bit better game plan against LA when they visit New Era Field. But I don't know. You know, it'll be interesting to see. It's a 47-3 loss, so you can probably, like you said, make an argument to start Peterman or just say heck with it and like let the Josh Allen era start. And he got good experience, and I liked how he played in the second half, and I think he's ready. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, throughout the week how he addresses it.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, like we said, it does give open the door for him there. But you know, to me, Sean McDermott is just one of those guys that tries to stay, you know, kind of stick to his guns, if you will. So that's the only reason I thought, you know, maybe he sticks with Peterman. But I, you know, I agree with you. I think it does open up the door at this point if they want to say, all right, Josh, you know, this is your thing now. Let's go do it. It just, to me, he would be doing a little bit of backtracking there, because it almost, they made it sound like they weren't necessarily just going with Peterman because he played so well in the preseason. It was almost as if, you know, Josh isn't quite ready, but, you know, I guess we'll, you know, that's why they're the coaches. So we'll see what happens, you know, next week.
Just other quick observations from the game. Poor tackling. You know, I don't know if it was because of the weather, but guys, you thought the Bills had wrapped up early on in the game, you know, squirmed away, got away for more yardage, kept the chains going for the Ravens and kept drives alive for them. The punt return too, you know, looked like the coverage unit was down there. The Bills coverage unit was down there in time. It was just like a performance from the fundamental tactics and just things that you kind of took for granted because Sean McDermott was the head coach were kind of like blown up in our faces today. A lot of things, like I said, just mentally, you know, with the penalties as well. It was just uncharacteristic of a Sean McDermott Bills team that we saw last year. So that was probably the biggest concerning point that I saw, and hope it gets righted here as we head into week two.
Yeah, and you know, I agree to that point, but you know, I think that it's hard when you have a game like this to figure out, well, what exactly, you know, is the most concerning thing. And I hate to keep, you know, going back to this and almost using it as like a scapegoat answer. What do you take away? What do you take away? But you know, I think something, and maybe this will be, you know, this is a little bit of a different response, but you know, the mental toughness aspect is something that is important in the NFL, and you can pretend that that stuff doesn't matter. But I think, again, it goes back to show the team last year. I'm telling you, if you go back and watch some of those games, there were times where it felt like the old Buffalo Bills would have just let those games get out of hand, and instead of finishing 9-7, they would have finished, 6-10 or 7-9, and that difference would have meant another year without the playoffs. So I thought Sean McDermott and his coaching staff did a nice job last year, kind of, solidifying that mental toughness. Like, don't let one mistake multiply into 2 to 3 to 4 to 5. And this today, that didn't happen. For whatever reason, it multiplied into 20 and they lose 47-3. So I think that, for you, if that's what you're kind of, most concerned with, my concern is next week, if the game starts off poorly, can they kind of, reset and say, okay, like, this isn't over, let's turn it around, or are we going to see another huge blowout? And I think that that's, for me, what I'll kind of be looking for, just because I think that really did make a difference last year. And, you hope they can kind of get back to that this season.
Yeah, last year it seemed like no matter what the situation was, they were playing hard all the time and believed that they could come back to win if they had to, or stay in games. This game just got away from them because, as you said, and I mentioned too throughout this episode, like, everything that could have went wrong in this game did.
Right.
So you hope that, like, all of that is just, washed under the rug or wiped under the rug, and we can just kind of reset and refocus next week, because everything was bad and you can't just pinpoint it to one or two things. So, just a better effort in one or two departments could make a huge difference next week. So we'll see what happens as the Bills will host LA, the Chargers come to town. And thanks again for listening to the Bills Wire podcast, this special post-game edition. You can check all of our stuff over at Bills Wire, billswire.usatoday.com, and make sure you subscribe to our podcast. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, on Spotify as well. So wherever you get your shows, we are there. Bradley, thanks for joining me on this little post-game wrap-up. 47-3, the Bills lose week one in Baltimore. Thanks again, Bradley. Any final words from you, sir?
Let's just hope next time we do one of these, we have a more uplifting experience to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for joining me. And thank you to Bills fans listening. We'll be back with our podcast episodes all week. Thanks, everybody.